This is December the 27th. It is the last Monday before next year. We have 5 days until 2011, only 4 days left in 2010. This is Russ Dizdar, Shatter the Darkness Live, the broadcast. Welcome to those listening locally and those listening by satellite, by internet, and later on those in the archives. Listen to the words in the theme for the week, 2010 in retrospect, marching into 2011, a blaze for whom? Now, listen, these are the words I wrote on the website, shatterthedarkness.net. Quote, someone said that the dreams of youth are the regrets of maturity. Does anyone have hope for the future? Does anyone make plans? What does 2010 have to do with 2011? Or with you, for that matter? Will 2011 be any different? Or will catastrophic chaos strike? In just days, the world will be dragged into 2011, kicking, screaming, in fear and with trepidation. We'll be closer to the unprecedented unveiling of radical evil, mask and luciferic light, of course. Billions feel it and know that something is coming, but who is ready? Spiritual discernment and spiritual analysis is vital. Will you flow with the currents that rush from hell's kitchen? Or will you march into 2011 ablaze for, well, for yourself or for God? For God? Will it be for money? Will it be for some other issue? Will it be political? Will it be, what will it be? So listening in this 1 hour, it's going to be a supernatural engagement. It is going to be providential. The Spirit of God will summon, sanctify, and he will work. And I'm just simply glad to be with you. Very grateful on a Monday, December the 27th, 2010, for all the great things God is and what God does. Psalm 103 comes to mind. I'm not going to forget God's benefit, nor what he does in the past, in the moment right here and right now, and what's coming into the future. Take a read, if you would, of this little statement we've put on the website, shatterthedarkness.net. Now, we have a theme this week, the last week in 2010. These 5 days are going to march down 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th, 31st. So Monday night is 2010 in retrospect, the news, the events, inching into globalism, evaluation, and the absolute need for spiritual discernment and analysis. Tuesday night, in light of this theme, it will be 2010, the past can bite you or teach you, regrets or redirects. The past, healing the hurt, the issues, and pressing forward. That's going to be very personal tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Wednesday night, 2010, tomorrow, 2011. All right, in the light of 2012 coming up. I'm going to tell you right now, on a human scale, my opinion, 2011 is going to go by faster. It's going to seem like it goes by faster than 2010. But Wednesday night, we're going to talk about the current right now, what it means to live in the moment. And then Thursday night, December the 30th, we are going to be doing 2011 perspectives on the future and a peek into the book, seeing into the future, making preparation for the future in light of what, though? I'm going to give you about five of those elements that will help you here today. And then Friday night is going to be December the 31st. It's the last day of the year. And it's 2010 in light of 2012. It's the spiritual contrast that will be seen as we're marching into 2011. The two rivers. We're going to talk about the two rivers. And listen, my dear friends, again, the theme for the week and for our lives, 2010 in retrospect, also then marching into the future, 2011. A blaze for God, a blaze for money, a blaze for self, opting out. Well, listen, as we're moving today, the tick of the clock, 5 minutes have gone by in this introduction. We're going to try to close down our introductions to about 5 to 8 minutes so we can get into the body of the message. This again, for the new folks listening, welcome to you. Welcome to the Russians. Доброе утро. Privyet. To the Chinese, ni hao, that's about as much as I know right now to all of us. God's blessing, God's grace, God's might in this hour, and there is no greater, none like him, and the living Christ. And may I just ask you, even if you're just a seeker, to take a look. Maybe you're on the other side of the fence, a Luciferian. I mean, a real one, not just those who get tagged with the name, but a real one. See, real Luciferians know what they are. That's the issue. A lot of people who are in the streams, that Luciferic stream, probably about 300 or 400 million New Agers, I'm not sure they understand. I'm not sure they understand because they're kind of just looking at the big head, like in The Wizard of Oz. They're looking at the big head and they don't understand the man behind the curtain. They don't understand that all of what they're seeing and all of what they're experiencing and all of what they're writing about is, it seems massive and big, but it is an illusion, not illusion, but a deception, a mask. And the one behind the curtain that pulls the knobs and the strings and does all the actual, you know, the source for the speaking. Well, we need to continue to bring light to what's really behind the scene. Because when we do an analysis of 2010, when we would do a kind of trend calculating for the future, which most that deal with the future work with trends, we're going to talk about that. But I want to ask you a question. Maybe you can send it in to us. And again, for those who are new, my name is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. Let me tell you that there's hundreds of MP3s that are available. There are training courses, and there are ongoing series on the Antichrist, on discernment, on Psy Wars, on dark rituals, dark powers. There are courses on dynamic discipleship, confronting the powers, Satanism 101, theocentric counseling, freedom encounters. The spiritual gift one is halfway up. We're locating the other half of that to get it up there too. The Book of Daniel and two other ones that have been down, we'll put back up: sexual decadence and the end of man, and then preemptive systematic theology, 50 hours worth. We're going to get all of this up and put it out in an email, but also have it on the website when the last bits. But probably right now, there's collectively about 800 MP3s. So they're all there and all kinds of information. We've connected to Facebook, and we're having a little bit of fun with that and some connections, so we like that. We put something new up on the Ragged Edge, the blog that we do today, but it just really tells about the theme this week. Because I think the theme, 2010, in retrospect, in this week, the last week of the year, and this is the week, you know, after the Christmas season and all the rest of the stuff that's gone on, getting ready for the New Year's Eve stuff, this is when we begin to kind of, everything's kind of, well, everybody's out shopping, you know, today because of all the deals and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, really right now, the end of December is a time when people are going to be evaluating and thinking through, and there are going to be those who are going to make pledges for the new year. So a lot of evaluating goes on anyway. But I wanted to give a one word. I mean, if I was to say 2010, if you can give me one word, what would it be? One word. 2010, one word. Now, a friend of mine out west sent me rare photographs capturing leading Nazis in 1941. They're at a restaurant celebrating, well, they're just in the Christmas season, they're out there celebrating in those days. Now, unbelievable pictures of Hitler sitting there and SS soldiers and the incredible tables that they're having. So I appreciate, again, Tim and all the things that he sends in to us from out west there. And I've been getting just, you know, so many of you, and I thank you, and we're adding on all of you to the Facebook stuff. So we're putting up little statuses daily. We're going to try to do our blog a little bit more often, and we have so many new things. So I am in evaluation of 2010. 2010 in retrospect, but it deals with my life. I'm looking at my life in light of God's agenda in my life, God's will in the world, and all that's going on. So I'm doing this kind of evaluation anyway, because I'm preparing in 2011 what's going to be coming. But if I was to ask you for your life and your knowledge of the world in 2010, what would the word be? On the global scale, I'm just going to tell you, and I think really individuals going to the marketplace, people at jobs, people with their homes, and all the rest. I listened to a friend of mine yesterday in my home. I'd been flown down to his house many years ago, down a couple states below us, and was there to do some ministry. And they lived in a massively nice house, had a second house on the beach, all kinds of things. They might be listening, so blessings to them. But I was listening to his story, as many around the world and in America have this story. Downsizing, losing jobs, the money's been cut, changing. Selling houses or losing homes, things like that. So in 2010, in retrospect, because we can look backwards because we know we're going to be marching into 2011, but we also got to have this perspective with all of what we look at. What about right now? And listen, for those who are afraid of the things that hurt you or crushed you in 2010, Tuesday night, we've got some incredible hope for you, some healing of your heart issues, and some ability to press forward. And for those who want to make a massive difference in the world, listen, tomorrow night and the last two, Thursday and Friday, vital messages in there concerning the mission of God, the agenda of God, that kind of river that flows from heaven. Because there's another river flowing from Hell's Kitchen. If I had one word and I was going to explain with one word all of 2010, here it is, the word I looked over. I thought this word first, angst. Angst. Dread was a little too strong, but angst. But then literally I knocked that out of the way, and one simple little word sums it up for me. I mean, as I look at the world as a whole and all that occurred, one word, nervous. The world's nervous. And so we're going to talk about political globalism. We're going to talk about number one, political. Number two, globalism. Number three, four, and five. The three big M's, media, money, military. Then we're going to touch on a spiritual issue. Then we're going to take a look at three specific things that everybody will be looking at. Number one, the trends. Number two, old and new occult light. And number three, where we need to go, biblical revelation, prophetic revelation. Then I'm going to give you the absolute five number one things that we need to have in order to be able to see clearly and be able to plot and plan and to know what time it is. 2010, for me, as I look at the world and as I see the political, as I see all that has happened in the economic and everything else, just the word nervous. Now, you know what I did? And I'm not a prophet nor a predictor. But I looked at 2011 already, because I'm doing all of this in light of 2011. And because of the 2012 stuff and how much world consciousness and mentality, books and documentaries and videos and speeches and all that's going to be said about 2012, December 21st, 2012. Well, 2011 might get lost between the end of 2010 and the beginning of 2012. But I've got a word already for 2011. I've got a word already. And again, it's out of my perspective. I'm just giving you out of my spiritual perspective, out of what I've seen in 2010, what I see coming in 2011 and 2012, because they're inseparably linked. It's simply the one word for 2011. One word. 5 days from now, I believe, one word. Expectation. 2010, nervous. 2011, expectation. You think about those things for a little while. Maybe send me a note. Let me Let me know what you're thinking. Go to Facebook if you're on it and send me a comment. I've seen some folks right now, Catherine and Bill, others have wanted to join, and some have put a comment on our links, and we'll take a look at those later. We're having fun with that. I got to talk to my good friend, Lynn Marzulli, the other day. It was a joy to talk with him. Talking with some friends yesterday from out of state. An individual that has been through the mind control projects and ritual abuse and everything else. And they have children and all the things that are going on in their life. We are praying together about where they're going to be moving to the future. And pretty interesting in how they've seen things. And again, 2010, nervous. 2011, expectation. But let's go over the five things quickly, retrospect 2010. Number one, the political scene. Now, I don't know about you, but I think the political scene, number one, it was a massive celebration for the liberal side, tremendous depression on the conservative side, real concern across the board. A lot of anger began to grow in the United States. But I mean, when we say political, we can bring in North Korea, we can bring in Iran, we can bring in the Middle East, we can bring in Russia's resurgence in Georgia. We can bring in, well, we can bring literally in South Africa and Somalia. We can bring in the hotbed Yemen. And all across the world, there is this nervousness. You know, who's going to fire first? I mean, we just seen what occurred. South Korea practicing their war games. North Korea mad about it. So they throw some shells into the island there in South Korea and kill some people. The world's outraged, and South Korea has bumped up their game to say, listen, you do it again, you know, we're going to unleash everything. We're going to strike back so hard. And China has jumped in on that to say, hey, slow down, North Korea. And so they're all trying to tell North Korea to slow down. What, are they crazy? Is this political leader there crazy? There's more to it than just the politics, because behind the politics, I'm going to tell you again, there are spiritual motivations across the board. Absolutely, clearly, spiritual motivations. We're going to look at that in a moment. But and looking at the outside and looking at the world, looking at the protests and the riots in England, looking at the fires, looking at the bombings, looking what just occurred this last week and the plot to do a lot of bombings all over in England, and the new concerns even coming out today concerning cargo package bombs and the attempts considerations to poison the food chain, go to restaurants and put things. So we're looking at all these things. And I think the world's nervous. I think the culture's nervous. I mean, look at the political scheme right now in America. Look how the voting went just lately. And look at this massive shift. Barack Obama calls it, by the way, he's in Hawaii, something about his trying to verify, or they're talking about him being there and going to maybe bring closure to the issue of his citizenship. But Barack Obama says that they received a shellacking. But I don't see Pelosi out of the way. I don't see Reid out of the way. My response to it all still is the concept of fierce prayer and doing what we need to do from God's perspective. But in the political scene right here in the United States, there's a battle. And the shift has occurred. And here's what happens in America. The shift occurs and everybody's running, you know, this lame duck Congress. It's like massive legislation, all kinds of things being passed. Don't ask, don't tell, you know, all kinds of things being put up to try to get it done before all these other conservatives that have been voted in, all these who are from the Tea Party and others that are, they're all going to be coming in this next month. And so there's going to be a shift back and forth, as the world turns, like that one title of a soap opera. And you know what? You know what? For the political folks listening, you know what the person on the street, you know the person working a job or having a home, the nurse or, you know, the carpenter, even the firefighter and so forth. You know what it is? Trust. It's about trust. And I think 2010, the reason I would put out the word nervous is that people don't trust what political leaders are going to do. Even when they know that the mass numbers of the people don't want something, and then they go ahead and vote for it. Healthcare. Anybody hear the word healthcare? So the political scene, I believe, as we look at all of the things and events, even on a global scale, I just have this word nervous. And then the globalism. You know, the UN's latest proclamation, I mean, they stated it, that based on their version of and their push of the environmental, cause and global warming, that they're going to be able then to access the world's wealth, that they want to then tax the world basically and draw all the monies from the rest of the world. And here's what they've literally boldly said, so that they can redistribute the wealth. The UN. You know, New Age, globalist-oriented New UN. We have a little glitch here in the computer, the UN. And I'm looking to my right here. Everything seems fine here, so we're going to just continue with what we're saying, unless I'm told something different. But the globalism. And I think that that's come off the lips of politicians. That's come off the lips of individuals around the world. The globalization of control of security systems, of monetary, the funds, the globalism of political agenda, globalism concerning military acts and military decisions. So, once again, the bleeding in of globalism is seen in the behind-the-scene meetings with the Bilderbergers, where other nations have joined together to look at things on a global scale. And there's a lot of folks out there that are thinking that the small group should rule the large. Now, we're talking just about what has been seen, political. And the globalist quest and the gas. Take again a look at the gas, and it's going to be predicted here locally that it might go up to $4. We've jumped from $2 and something, $2.79 I paid for like 4 weeks ago. But we're at $3.05 with predictions of it going higher. But the question is why? So I think in terms of the political, I think in terms of the globalist, you know, the appearance of the globalist agenda. But there's three areas then, this is 3, 4, and 5, that I think that we look back at. The media, the money, the military. So I look back at the media. I mean, we can look back at films. The number one grossing films, the Harry Potter thing continues to go. Everybody thinks it's just a light level thing. Now, you know, there's clearly spirituality unleashed deeply in the Harry Potter films. Not coming from heaven, of course, because God is absolutely absent. He's not in the equation. So as millions and millions of children watch the Harry Potter movies, they are getting the belief system of the author. They're getting the... Here's where I've said, we've got to do presuppositional analysis, literally spiritual analysis. So they are, and that's why I have people writing me saying, well, you know, some friends, I guess, wrote me. I didn't know about it, and I guess their father here locally told me. But military individuals that have written to me saying, hey, our children, they want to buy, you know, the wizard stuff, the magic stuff like Harry Potter, and they want to do the stuff. Will you call us, and will you talk to our kids and tell them no, and why? And I was like, well, why as parents... aren't you going to be strong enough, spiritual enough, to say no and say the reasons why? One of the issues with Harry Potter and a lot of the media stuff is, like Avatar and many other things, the sheer absence of a personal, relational God. Now, this also then spans out to one of the brilliant physicist, scientist in the world, Stephen Hawking. The grand design. I'm going to have more to say on that later on in 2011. Because here is one of the most brilliant people of the world, but again, in all of his equation, in the M theory, in quantum physics, and all the rest, the absence of God, and then the declaration of, according to his evaluation, there's no need. He even questions that in the beginning of his book. Is there any need of God? The super collider, it's looking for the God particle, per se. It's as if science thinks that it can reach God on its own. It's still scratching in the sand. And so there's an absence of God, a resurgence of atheism, Richard Dawkins. I think with the nervousness of 2010, there is this quest. Who do we blame? Is this all about, you know, the dark side striking us up? Kind of like the book of Job. I'm glad for the book of Job. Here we have, you know, the dark side striking up, hitting, harming, doing devastating things, bringing crushing, catastrophic things into a life, all for one reason: to get the man to blame God for everything. This is a big methodology of the dark side: to strike you up, to harm you, to do all that he does, and then to get you to, well, blame God. Erase God, be angry at God, so that your heart can be wide open for something else. Media matters. Fox News has blown out of the water all of the other liberal, well, CNN, MSNBC, all the rest of that stuff. I mean, it's literally blown out of the water, all the rest. And then when you add to that all the conservative talk shows, when you add to that all of the new radio internet stuff, even what we do with a, you know, and again, our issue is a stronger, clearer presentation in the context of everything of Christ. Let me tell you something. There's a reaction then to maybe, you know, get control of the internet so they can monitor it, or force all the conservative talk show and all the screamers out there to add into their personal work links to and point people to the liberal side. I mean, they can't fund, you know, Air America, and so it's like they want to go to those who all the people are listening to and say, hey, we're going to make you, you know, point back to us and bring control and maybe even bring control. Hey, by the way, when it comes to the internet, I know a lot of you write me, and we see about 130,000 to 150,000 downloads of all these MP3s we're talking about. Even the archives, even this show, will be downloaded by the thousands. Now, that goes into 90 countries of the world. Let me say this quickly. You know, make CDs of them if you like. Look at our copyright issue. We're only saying that we ask you do not alter anything. Download all you want freely. Everything we got, including all future courses, are free. But and if you put them on your site, just put a link to ours. Get them out to everybody. Make CDs of them if you want to. And if you want to give them away, but give them away freely. The media is going to be a big issue, because when all hell breaks loose and the coming rise of Antichrist, it's without question, it'll all be controlled. So when you look at the media, the movies and so forth, and I'm going to tell you the one of the most significant movies of the year that I saw was Inception. What an incredible movie that really depicts how the dark side plants thoughts into the hearts and the minds of individuals and wants us to think that they're our own. If you're a believer and you understand Ephesians chapter 6 about the arrows that are sent by a real sender, the involuntary thoughts, the involuntary feelings even, it's all about Inception, planning the thoughts, planning the ideas with the goal of making, well, with the goal that you will not detect that it's coming from the outside. And the only thing that's going to help you, especially New Agers and psychics and remote viewers and millions of you that are in the quest but don't yet know God, listen, you need the Spirit of God. You need the revelation of the Word of God. You need the infinite who had come down, Christ. Let me say more about that in a little bit here. Number four, in retrospect of 2010, with the word nervous written all over it, money. Now, when I say money, we're going to say nervous, are we not? I mean, listen, we're going to talk about people that have lost all kinds of things, Madoff and collapses and bailouts and Greece's bailout and national bailout and banks that have cheated and people that have taken money and jobs and homes and new taxes or no new taxes. By the way, I just heard today, you know what I heard today about this issue of taxes? That now some of the new laws being proposed is going to tax Kindle, Nook, and the iPad for the downloading of books. I got thousands of books all around me, and I love books. But I've been just lately getting a lot of free books and then purchasing books on the Kindle laptop that I have. You know, my laptop that has Kindle. And so, you know, I'm saving money and trying to do good that way and buying used books and things like that. But I've got a Kindle now, and I've probably got about 50 books on it already. Things that I need to read before 2011 starts. Well, they're going to, I'm told anyway, and I haven't seen all the details, but I'm told they're going to tax that. It's like they look to where money's really being made, and so we need to be, again, alert about what we're going to, you know, in America anyway, what are you going to let the government do, and what are we going to have to say about it? So the money issue is big, and I still say the Antichrist has a checkbook, and that so many trillions that the folks don't know where the money's going. There is, I believe, truly a World Bank. I mean, you know, you could look at the World Monetary Fund and the World Banks and so forth, but ultimately, when it comes to the rise of the Antichrist and his regime, they're going to have to have the money situation already in place, even as the Nazis sought it on a smaller scale. The largest bank account in human history, listen, the largest bank account in human history will be the Antichrist's and his regime and globalism and the centralization. Are we talking nervous yet? Number five, military. Now, on the one side, the military, MIL Labs and, you know, DARPA and the development, super soldiering, transhumanism, and the development of, incredible super weapons. The treaty between the United States and Russia, nuclear weapons. And then you got, again, North Korea, China backs, that may initiate something there with South Korea that the United States backs, or there's Iran that Russia backs, and there's Israel that the United States backs, and there's Somalia, there's Yemen, there's trained terrorists from all over, there's the shadow government, the false flag, all that deals with killing people, blowing people up, and bringing destabilization. And so I think that as we look at 2010, we see a lot of nervousness in the area of warcraft and killing and slaughtering. I mean, who wants to take their boat and go, out in the ocean and go by Somalia without getting, jumped by pirates? I mean, you've got underwear bombers in planes. You've got cargo bombs going to seven different nations. You've got military on alert. You've got new security systems in every way. You've got scanners that see everything. What are we going to do? This is the world that we live in. And 2010 is, in my estimation, a year of nervousness. The world's nervous. We can look backwards just a little bit to 9/11, but we look right now what's going on, and we look to the future a little. We see what's happening politically, globalism, media, money, military, and I'm going to say overall, it's been a nervous year. Has it not? But let's bring in three spiritual perspectives into this. And here's where I think when you think in terms of all those who will calculate the trends, because this is the week that many people that have been working on it, they're calculating the trends, they're looking at everything, the web bot spiders that have gone out to collect information from websites around the world, bring in all that emotional language, and then describe the conscious feeling, the conscious expectations of the world scene. Well, WebBot, they're going to come out with predictions. They already got some. There were predictions a year ago that Israel would, destroy the nuclear capacity and war would ensue, but that didn't occur. There's a lot of predictions from 2009 into 2010 that did not occur. A lot of individuals that are looking at Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, the psychics, and it's without question first and second generation remote viewers are placing themselves out there as the new prophets of doom. Yeah, of doom. 2011 is going to be all about 2012, so that's all about prophecy, that's all about the future, that's all about global shift, world shift, consciousness shift, everything else going to shift, the end of what we know the world to be now, and a new beginning. Will it be the age of Aquarius? Will it be the Black Awakening? Will it be the rise of Antichrist? End of days? All those kind of equations and questions, well, they are out here. The next movie going to be placed out there. I don't know if you've seen Silence of the Lambs, if you remember Hannibal. Here we have the same actor going to play in the movie coming out, The Exorcist. Now, The Last Exorcist, that wasn't enough. And The Exorcist of Emily Rose, that wasn't enough. The reappearance of The Exorcist 1, 2, and 3. And a lot of movies that deal with spirits, alien visitation. I look to my left here, and you should see the books I'm reading. The books that I'm studying in light of biblical prophecy, in light of everything that's going on. One's called Brainwashed for War, Programmed to Kill. One's called, in the New Age sense, the 2012 sense, The Evolution of Humanity, The Elevation of Humanity. It's going to combine, I think, transhumanism and the spiritual New Age quest of an evolutionary leap in human consciousness. Visitation or disclosure by the aliens to engage us. Still finishing out slowly and going back over The Grand Design by a world-renowned physicist, scientist, who's not able to equate all that he's... Here's the issue. Is God in the equation of the trend calculators? How about WebBot? I mean, most of those who are calculating on the basis of physical facts and physical trends and physical things. I got another book here to the left I'm looking at. Bug Out, it's all about survival when all hell breaks loose. Another book over here called Massive, all about the God particle and the quest to find it. Another book over here by Richard Planck, The 4% Universe, Dark Matter, Dark Energy, and The Rage to Discover the Rest of Reality. So there's a lot of questers. You may be listening right now as someone that quests. And we can build our own tracks and try to build our own Tower of Babel and reach God. And it won't occur no matter how hard we work, no matter what brainstorming we do, no matter how big the machine, CERN, we build. By our hands, we will not, cannot reach God. There's great news for everyone listening right now that God has clearly reached down to reach us. That's what this is all about. That's what this, right this very moment, is all about. You can look back at 2010, one more year has gone by. What are you, 40, 50, 60, 70, 20? It just keeps right on moving. You know, time, it keeps on ticking into the future, right? The three spiritual things I want to mention right now in context of 2010 in retrospect, marching into 2011 ablaze, is this. Number one. The New Age movement, worldwide, probably 300 to 400 million. all of the spiritual visitation that is going on, all of the spiritual visitation that is going on everywhere, that means, that means sleep paralysis visitation, visitation in conjunction with astral projection. Remote viewers are engaging entities now and not just energies. And the psychics and having spirit guides, possession, demonization, visitation, paranormal groups seeking the supernatural, the paranormal, the rise of exorcists. The prediction of the highest, the pinnacle, the ramping up of spirits in the world around us. So one of the things that I do not see that the normal predictors and those who use trends and even maybe WebBot does not bring into the equation is this the river that flows south of heaven that has an agenda that is developing, that bleeds into the political, that fosters and is growing the globalism, that infects the media, that steals the money, that ramps up the military. Do you understand that river? It's a river of darkness, a river of disturbance, a river of, well, it's a river of rebellion. It's a river of outrage and hatred of God. It's a river that ultimately would annihilate God and erase God and replace God if it could. It's a river that right now wants to stay absolutely hidden behind the scenes, but yet operate, have the physical effect without being seen so that blame can be placed elsewhere. The ramping up of the New Age, the ramping up of spiritual sect and cults and groups, real Luciferians, Satanism worldwide, unprecedented, unbelievable. In the context of all of that, the new statistics in the area of satanic ritual abuse, by 2010, even in the secular sense, there are those proposing, Colin Ross, the psychiatrist, they were proposing in the United States alone 10 million cases that involves multiple personalities, that someone purposely created them. And then we have them in Canada and Australia and England, all through Europe, all over Europe and into Russia. And the numbers of the first generation victims, around 58 years old average-wise, that might be around 40, 50 million by now on a global scale. But here's where the equation hasn't come in. What about their children that are multiples, that have been up through the stuff? What about their children's children, third generation, and now the fourth? You know, we have a fourth generation. So I'm bringing out to you again the estimations of 100 million that involves the technology to split the human core, create sub-personalities, energize them, program them, prepare them for the chaos to come, and the rise of a world supranatural leader that they will recognize. 100 million. And let's track back. It all begins literally in the 50s. It flows out of Germany and the Nazis and the Black Flame. And those of you that monitor the show, you know what we're talking about. The ramping up is so vast and so big. Now, we look on the surface of things and can see the spiritual trends and the spiritual developments. And with this comes... on a spiritual, listen, I'm giving you analysis, my analysis anyway, 2010, of the church in America. And listen, the analysis is simply this: massive suppression and 30 years behind. Let me say it again. Massive suppression and 30 years behind what's really going on. Because of the underground, that's, you know, what's going on under the carpet, and the 500 satanic, you know, rituals in the last 50 years, and the massive development of the dark side's presence, both dark and masqueraded as light, into the world, in unprecedented visitations and in the writings, supernaturally guided books that are coming out, videos that are coming out, documentaries that are coming out, channelers that are channeling, individuals that are engaging. I'm reading a new book, another book over here, another one on my agenda called Ultra Terrestrial Contact. And there's a great quest for disclosure, for the entities to make themselves known. There was predictions that it was going to happen in 2010. It didn't. It's going to happen. It's guaranteed the disclosure will come, but it's not what they think. It's all about the abyss. When it is opened, real extra-dimensional entities will cross over, come down upon the earth. And you know what? The world's not going to like it. See, people are knocking at the door, but they don't understand. It's a ravenous beast on the other side. You know, it's like the Goldilocks. My grandma, what big ears you have. The better to hear you, my dear. My grandma, what big teeth you have, you know, the better to eat you. You know, that's the picture. If you do not understand the mask when it comes to the spiritual, it's very possible you're already embraced or embracing the false light. One of the evidence is this. Do you know God? Do you know the living Christ? Do you know the power of God, the forgiveness of God, and the gift of indestructible immortality? Is it dwelling in you? Do you know the joy and the love and the embrace in a personal relationship with God? Because the river that runs from Hell's Kitchen, with all of its masquerade on the surface of things, all of its lethal darkness under the carpet, never leads to God, no matter what, no matter, you know, it's all about counterfeit, alternative, spiritual preoccupation. And they don't give a darn about the loss of your soul. Let me make it clear. They don't want you to get to God, and they're not going to lead you there. I don't care if you're the grand poobah of the New Age. I don't care if you're the grand poobah of the Masonic Order or secret societies or there are numerous spiritual, you know, experiences and events and encounters, all running from that river that flows from Hell's Kitchen. And it's evidenced by never leading a person to God but giving alternatives. Where it is the Spirit of God, the river of God, the river of revelation, the presence of God in the world is leading by the hundreds of millions worldwide, hearts and lives of human beings listening to Christ, to God, to forgiveness, to empowerment, to the gift of eternal life. So the spiritual evaluation of 2010. Massive rise in the physical marketplaces, in the lives, in the books, in the drama, in the movies, Avatar, and so forth. But the great suppression of the church and leaving it limping 30 years behind. Might not be true of you listening right now. You want to be at the cutting edge. And I'm going to say to every believer in Christ, you can become Acts 9:22. More and more powerful. And if anybody should be cutting edge, powerful, spiritually alert, spiritually ablaze, you know, leaping into 2011 with expectation from God, it should be you, believers in Christ, that are listening now. So I pray for the greatest sense of God's empowerment to bring us to grips with where we need to walk, where we need to make sure we're not compromising, and the mission. You know, this river from heaven. You say, well, what do you mean river? You ever read John's Gospel chapter 7? Jesus says it very clearly. You know, you read it yourself. He says, I tell you the truth that anybody that believes in me, you know, as the scripture has said, this living supernatural scripture, as it is said, out of their inmost being, the depths of you will flow rivers of living water, streams of living water, rivers of living water. The Spirit of God that is poured into the believer. The Spirit of God that is given at the moment any human being anywhere, Russian, Chinese, Swahili. It doesn't make any difference where you are, where you're listening from. Friends, new friends in Scotland we've been, you know, engaged with at Facebook and from other parts of the world. It is such an incredible privilege. But there is a river that compels me. It's north of hell. It flows from the heart of God. It involves the fix for fallen, dying, hell-bound humanity. Or we could say it this way. It brings the fix for fallen, hurt, bleeding, dying, being deceived, hell-bound humanity. In the midst of all of it, the cross. If 2010 made you nervous, can I take you to the cross? There's a massive interaction there. The physics of the infinite, which we tried to bring out last week, we had some difficulties on a couple of the nights. The unprecedented reality of the love of God and the pursuit of God. The only reason I think that I'm here right now, because God is pursuing you. Out of thousands, maybe down the road, out of hundreds of thousands. You see, if all I do is talk about dark matter and CERN and whether the universe spontaneously created itself, what is there in that? What is there in just the talk of that? See, there's the talk, the quest, the ongoing, you know, cafe side, rest, you know, there's just talk going on. And there's outrage going on. And there's screamers going on. And even as we scream about the darkness, if that's all we do, I believe it's useless. If you scream at the darkness, it has no power to break it. You know what I did yesterday? In the context of the spiritual, the rising, the ramping up, and we've been using this word for, you know, 3 years now, the ramping up. What we've seen in the last 2 years is nothing to what we'll see in 2011 and coming, going forward. The unprecedented, and again, it's based on biblical revelation, ramping up. But it's also based on the what we've experienced in the contemporary scene. I went to give somebody yesterday that it came out of the dark side stuff, mind control, satanic ritual abuse, all this other stuff. I looked at them and I know them as a great friend. They might be listening right now. They know that I love them deeply. But I was I had them here in my home yesterday and I said, well, it's in my book. Did you read my book, The Black? I mean, you know, they know all about my book. They know that what I've discussed is all about their life. And I said, did you read my book? And the individual kind of looked down and smiled and said, I've been afraid to. Other individuals that know me here locally, I could not believe it. They're kind of afraid to read my book. Others have told me, you know what? I read a little bit of your book, then I set it down because it's pretty heavy, and I gotta go think about it. I gotta think about it. We're gonna get it up on Kindle pretty soon, and we're gonna get the other stuff up here too. But The Black Awakening. It's all about the last 60 years, the contemporary scene, and what's about to strike. If billions are feeling dark, catastrophic events, and if WebBot predicts the catastrophe, and if coast-to-coast listeners feel like George Norrie does, that an Antichrist is coming, a shadow government is out there, then please understand what we've written about is right down that alley. With the answers, with hope, with what to do. Dealing with the spiritual equation, retrospect 2010, marching into 2011. Number one, the whole spiritual ramping up the dark side. Underneath the carpet, it's lethal, it's real, it shows its face. Above the surface, it's masqueraded, infecting probably billions, literally, moving towards globalism. Now, number two, there is a quest in science and technology. In transhumanism, let's get to eternal life without God. Let's find the death gene. Let's find the gene inside of us, and let's see if we can fix that so that we do not die. So transhumanism, Stephen Hawking and the spontaneous creation of the physical universe with no need of God, and Richard Dawkins, the angry man concerning God, and CERN that can't pull God into the Atlas. When you build your own track, when you build your own Tower of Babel, you will not reach God. If you use your own tracks, if you use your finite ability to get there, as brilliant as some of the physicists and scientists and people there are in the world around us, I have no question their brilliance pales in comparison to the revelation of God, of Christ, and what it's all about. They cannot lead you to, nor can they find God on those tracks that they have built by their own hands. You can sit at the tower, the top of the tower, the Tower of Babylon, but the most you're going to find is that you're in your personal evaluation, you're higher up than you're looking down at everybody else. But you have not and cannot reach the door to God's kitchen, living room. But God's done something. You remember how I started to say this last week out of the Gospel of John? Hey, Archie, ha logos, remember? In beginning of the material, you know, universe with all of its particles and atoms and all the rest, in the beginning, was already existing. Eternal, immaterial, logos. The reason for all this, all the visible. And the logos is, was, has always been God, face to face with God in the high order of Trinity. And the logos became flesh. God came down here. Let me mention three things about trends, and I mentioned the spiritual. Here's the New Age side of it. There's the quest for it all over the world, yet not finding it when you're building with your own hands. And then the unseen. So much WebBot can't detect, the psychics are diverted by this secret power of lawlessness. Only God has revealed what they're doing, what they will do. And it involves the catastrophic death of billions coming up. And yes, changes for the world. Now listen, with the last 3 minutes we have here, let me tell you this. Number one, trends. Everybody's going to be looking at them, even WebBot. Number two, many millions, if not a few billion, will look at the old occult streams of prophecies, even the newest things coming out of the Mayan prophecies. Or new revelations they're talking about. But what about biblical revelation? Five things you need, and I'm going to bring this up deeply tomorrow. I'll bring great explanation of this tomorrow night. If you want to know how to really blaze into the future, see what's going on, five things, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, prophetic revelation, looking, and Jesus giving you a heads up. Listen, we got the music on, and we're at the end of the hour. God bless you. Great to be with you. Remember us in prayer. Hey, please remember us in support. Good night.